Let's see who's here. Did we lose him? Oh, there you are. Oh, I gotta unmute you.
Okay, hello, can I be heard?
Yes.
Awesome. Hi, I'm Chris. I'm a compulsive overeater. Thank you very much to Rich for asking me to lead. All right. I have been in OA since 2020. My top weight was 550 pounds. I am down to 213 pounds as of my last weigh-in. My abstinence date is I'm sorry, June 15th of 2021. I have a sponsor. I got a food plan, and I try to give as much service to meetings as I possibly can. That is how I stay abstinent. Let me get right into it. I was always a really big kid. I was always like a really big person. I was never I never had like a healthy body weight until I found Overeaters Anonymous. And I never understood that I had an eating problem. I really just thought that I just kind of thought I just liked to eat, I was like, whatever. But I, by the time I was out of high school, I was over 500 pounds. I was also really into drugs and alcohol, and I only bring that up because that's how I found OA. I found it from AA. But in my 20s, I went from 550 to 350 about four times. That was like my 10 years of, trying to control my weight. And, if you saw me at 550, things were really bad. If you saw me at 350, I was doing really well. Things were perfect, Felt really good, had a lot of confidence. And then in when I was about 30, again, I didn't have the vocabulary for this, but I pulled a geographic and I moved from New Jersey to California. I wanted to come out here and get into like be a big star. Now I work insurance, so clearly that didn't go well. Thank God it didn't. I made a weight loss Instagram because I thought I could like shame myself into losing weight. And that did not work. Just a heads up. But I got out into California, and my eating, it was bad before, but it took a pretty rough turn. Same with my drugs and alcohol. And in October of 2019, I tried to kill myself, and it didn't work. And I went to an AA meeting that day, like the next day, and I just asked for help, and I got it. And I have not had a problem with drugs or alcohol since. And I was in AA for a few months before I found this program. And I'm bringing that up to say, when I was in AA, I got down to 316 pounds before I got into AA. And then within 2 months, I had gained 80 pounds, like just, in the blink of an eye once I was off the drugs and alcohol. And my sponsor said, you should go to OA. And I didn't do that. I went to one OA meeting, and there was a bunch of older women who were very thin talking about sugar packets, and I just didn't relate. I was like, I don't have an eating. If this is an eating problem, I don't got an eating problem. I'm good. And then I went to a show a couple days later, and there was a woman who was talking about sobriety, and she, me and her talked, and she said it was OA, and I just started crying, and I just asked her to help me. I was like, can you please help me? And she took me to a meeting in Studio City. I got a sponsor there. I heard the music. I started working a sober eating kind of plan. And then the world shut down, and I just didn't eat. I just restricted myself for like, a whole year almost. Still came to meetings. I was still, in the rooms. I never worked the steps. And then slowly but surely, I started taking my will back, and I relapsed. And I didn't gain any of my weight back, but the craziness of the food was like really on display for me being in the rooms. 'Cause in the rooms, I learned a lot of vocabulary. I learned, I didn't listen a lot, but I listened to just enough to really hear the craziness around food. And that's what I was experiencing on way before June of 2021. But June 15th of 2021, I restarted my time. I got honest with my sponsor, and I didn't work the steps, but I didn't leave. And then at the end of that year, my dad's wife died, And my stepsister asked me to come down to Florida to help them out, and I didn't want to do that. So I turned to you guys again, and I asked you guys what to do. I made a lot of phone calls, and everyone just kept telling me to pray. And I thought you were telling me to kick rocks. You know, I thought you were saying like, I don't know, you deal with it. But I prayed, and I went to this person's house for a job. I do home inspections, and this person's house had a version of the Serenity Prayer, like on the door or the mailbox. And this person was also the widow of a pastor who had just died from COVID, which is what my father's wife had died from. And we just started praying together. Like, we just started praying. And I've never done that before in my life, never have since, at least with another person in their house for a job. And I took that as like my spiritual experience, you know, because I prayed right before I walked in. I asked God, what the fuck do I do? You know? And I went down to Florida to help my father bury his second wife. And when I came back with such a, I heard someone in a meeting the other day frame it really well for me to like kind of say it again, which is everyone in the program changed somehow. I didn't change. I didn't have a different experience. Everyone in this room changed to be so loving and caring. And I was so appreciative of that. So I really started working the steps like my hair was on fire. Really started working the steps hard. And I did that. And I had I would say now pretty thoroughly that I have had a psychic change. And I feel weird even saying that, but it the experience in the book, that's what I had. I was able to make amends to people that I never thought I would be able to. I'm able to live a entirely different life than I ever thought imaginable. And I'm just a happier person. I'm just a overall happier guy. And that does not mean that I'm happy on a daily basis. I got a lot of complaints and grievances that I could give out to you. But my friends in this program have, you know, told me, you know, 4 years ago I was a stark raving mad lunatic. And now when people call me, I'm a little bit nicer. Anyway, so I worked the steps, and I have seen the difference where like where I can be of service to people has really changed my life a lot. I used to hate sponsoring, and I love sponsoring. I just got fired by a sponsee the other day, and my immediate thought was, oh shit, I'm only down to two a week. I need more. Like, I need more people to try and help. And wouldn't you know it, somebody called me, and I started working with another guy. And if that was 3 years ago when I started, or 2 years ago when I started sponsoring, my statement was, oh shit, I got to deal with this person now. And now it is much more like, oh, I get to try and help. I get to try and help somebody, which is a, my sponsor has pointed out, very different from then when I came in. So that's what it was like, and that is what happened, and what it's like now. In the 4 years, in the 4.5 years that I've been honest with my food, and that I have not lied and just been, you know, black and white abstinent with my food. I've gotten married. I live in a house. I haven't lived in a house since I was 17. When I came here, I was practically homeless, living in a car that was technically owned by an ex-girlfriend. I'm self-supporting. I'm able to show up for my friends and my family. And that is all works from just taking daily action. So every day I do a meeting of some type in OA. I don't really do AA anymore. I really haven't done an AA meeting for myself in years. And that's I still don't use drugs or alcohol. It's just drugs and alcohol. When I asked for the help to put that stuff down, it went away, and I haven't had a craving really since. I still call myself an alcoholic and a drug addict. I still abstain from that stuff, but I don't need to work a program around it. My food, I need this so bad. I need OA really, really bad. I have a really bad case of compulsive overeating, and I need a lot of help every day, because every day my mind just wants more food. I have been graced, thankfully, without wanting a craving or without wanting having a craving or being obsessed with any of my alcoholic foods. But when I'm weighing out my snack, when I'm putting food on my plate, there's always that little voice in the back of my head, like, you should get more. You should have, you deserve more. You need more. Life has been hard. You should get more. And the way I address that is making a lot of phone calls during the day. When I wake up, and this is something new I've started doing. A lot of people told me that it was really helpful, and I thought that they were lying. But I can tell you that praying and meditating, it really helps. And I'm very new to it. I've been screaming it from the rooftops for the past few months because it's been a game changer for me in my life. So when I wake up in the morning, I pray and I just talk to God. I don't know what God is. I don't have like an idea. I just have a conception that it is this like type of ether or something in the ether, and it's just there, and it's like kind of rooting me on, like, yeah, buddy, you know, do your best. I want you to be happy. Don't hurt yourself with food. Don't, you know, yell at a stranger. You know, be you try to be an adult, you know, what you think an adult would do. And then I meditate. I'm up to 3 minutes a day. Who's luckier than me? That's the best I got is 3 minutes of meditation. Anything more is really difficult. But I added a minute last week, so that's good. And then I send an email to my sponsor, which is it's committing my food. So I send an email to my sponsor, and anything, I don't make unilateral food decisions. Everything that I eat has been approved by him or someone else. But if there is a change that is approved the day before, I call it out to my sponsor. I'm like, hey, they didn't have chicken at the restaurant, so I got turkey or whatever. And then I answer three questions to him, which is what is going right in my life? What is my plan for the day? And then what is keeping me from peace? And I'll let you guys guess what the bigger question is. What gets answered the most in great detail? It's what's keeping me from peace, because I got a lot of problems that are of my own making normally. I really feel that to have an experience in this program that I got to have. Putting down the alcoholic food was like the hardest part, and it was the most, well, it was the easiest part, but it was the most important part for me. Because when I put down the alcoholic food, and when I got really honest and specific and clear about my food, is when all the other feelings came up, and it made life really difficult. So the best I try to do every day, the best I can hope for, is to just be abstinent. And I gotta tell you, that's not exactly what I want to hear. And that's not what I want to say. I want my life and my goals to be much bigger than just not eating compulsively. But sometimes that's the best I got. Like sometimes at the end of the day, the best I got is I didn't binge, I didn't compulsively eat. And I'm gonna have to take that as a win. Because I am a I'm a very sensitive person. I'm a very sensitive person. I'm an emotional person, and I got a lot of I got a lot of big feelings. I got a lot of big feelings, and they can affect me very, very, very potently during the day. And I don't know why, and I don't care why, but when I get my feelings hurt, I want to eat food. When something really good happens to me, I want to eat food. So if the best I got today, and today was a really good day. You know, I won't lie. I did a lot of good things today. I gave charity. I helped some people in and out of program. I did work. I answered all the fucking emails from work. I did everything I was supposed to do. And I also didn't eat compulsively. So today's a banner day. Tomorrow, who the hell knows? Hoping it'll be somewhat the same. But I say all that to get into something that I read that has come up at a few meetings, and I really appreciate hearing about it. And I see that I have about 5 minutes left, Rich. So thank you. And I will wrap up. There's a letter about emotional sobriety. And I really like when I read that letter, it was like opening up another little, I don't know, like those little like Russian dolls. It was like another part where I was like, oh, there, it's not just about, not it. It is about not eating, but it's also like, hey, like we gotta be somewhat sober with our emotions. And what I read, what I get from that letter is the outside dependencies. And it and this has been really helpful for me to find my connection with God, which is and it says it in this letter, which is. And this is, I believe this is OA approved because it's from Bill Wilson. But if my reliance on me feeling good or feeling better or whatever it is not related to God, then it's gonna fucking fail me. Like that's what I get. It's just gonna fail me. And that's really important for me to understand. Because I am someone who is very vain. I love looking good. I buy a lot of clothes, I want to look good, and how I look is very important to me ever since I lost a ton of weight. Money is important to me. These things that are, again, outside dependent resources, I fall victim to really easily. And when I'm upset, when I'm angry, when I am emotional, it normally is something that I was expecting to serve me failing me. And it's when I don't look for God, because when I look for like in the morning, praying and meditating has been so important to me because it really, I don't know what the fuck it does. I don't care what it does. What I think for me it does is it directs my thinking and my intention for the day to be God driven. And to rely on my higher power, which who the hell knows what my higher power has in store for me today? And when I look at it from that perspective at 5 in the morning, I don't know why, but I'm a little bit better with the day and I'm able to accept whatever I get thrown my way a lot better in the day than, I would normally do, which is I would yell and scream at someone in traffic, or I would give my wife an attitude who was only trying to help me with whatever problem I was complaining about. So the praying and meditating has been very helpful. And I'm not going to sit here and say that I have emotional sobriety. I'm not going to sit here and say that I am a pillar of abstinence or health. But what I will say is that by reading that letter and keeping that in mind and praying and meditating and really trying to be of service has made me, I think, someone that people might want to hang around a little more than what I was doing beforehand. And this is all while I am eating the same 3 meals and 2 snacks that I eat every day. Which is, I gotta tell you, there's not a lot of fun in my lunchbox. There's not a lot of goodies in there. It's a salad. It's a big salad, but it's a salad. It's 12 ounces of fruit. That's what it is. It's 12 ounces of fruit. It doesn't change. And for a guy who came from 550 pounds, I can tell you that that is quite the miracle. I will wrap up with this. I went out to my hometown in October to officiate my friend's wedding, which was an amazing blessing, like a beautiful opportunity. And my uncle passed away while I was out there, and he was on hospice, so it was kind of expected. But I got to go and show up for my uncle and my family, which is something I was never able to do. And my aunt was, I remember her just talking to my wife, and she came to bed. She's like, "I can't believe this guy's still alive. It's insane. I can't believe he's still here," because what I left New Jersey as, and what I was living as in California too, was not very good. I'm not pompous enough, and I'm not comfortable calling myself a miracle. But what I will say is what I've experienced for a guy like me is a miracle, and I'm very grateful for that. And I don't ever want to lose that. So with that, thank you. Thank you for letting me share. I hope what I said was helpful. If you're new, please get a sponsor and stick around. If you're struggling, also please stick around. Thank you for letting me share.